Today's guest, guys, we're going to hear from the founders of Speak and Share.
I got a call from a friend back home on the peninsula informing that Josh had taken his life. And it was probably, 3 months later where Nath and I and Mace caught up on that walk that I said, you know what, boys, I'm struggling as well. Like, I felt like the whole Josh thing was my fault sort of thing. And it was only then that I opened up that it started to get a little bit better. But yeah, it was the hardest thing I've ever been through. And talking about mental health should be completely normal. Like, everyone's got mental health, whether it's good mental health or poor mental health. It should be a normal thing that people talk about.
A non-for-profit organisation dedicated to breaking down the stigma of mental health.
Like, they were sitting around after the footy game and they just started talking about mental health, and he just, like, messaged us saying, like, such a cool thing, like, your hoodie instigated a conversation, and the first time, like, ever, like, the 10 of us actually spoke about mental health. So when we get a message like that, like, it's so powerful.
Give it up for Ben and Nathan from Speak and Share.
Yeah, boys.
No one's ever lucky. I mean, I think the only lucky you get in life is where you're born, and then you make the rest.
Stick around. It's going to be a good ride. Good boys. How was the week? Benny, we meant to ask you, sort of Red Bull. Is that water or Red Bull?
No, just don't look down next to me, dude. No, I'm going all right.
I just remember it early on, in the early on episodes, you were talking about New Year's resolutions, where it's sort of circa mid-year, maybe a bit lighter than mid-year.
Yeah.
And you know, we're mid-year. How are you going with it?
I'm ashamed to say that I haven't progressed too far yet, but it's
fun. I know, that's why I asked.
So how many a day are you at?
Do I have to say it out loud? Three, but when it wasn't necessarily a New Year's resolution. I'm not that kind of cat, you know what I mean? It was more just like, this year I'm getting off the Red Bull.
So the fact we're only halfway, you're saying, Pico, we're only halfway. Don't judge me now. Judge me at the end of the year.
Correct, man. Okay. Doesn't matter where you start. It matters where you finish,
oh,
man.
Oh, hello.
And you've known me a very, very, very long time, PK. Would you put the money on me or not? You are a betting man. I'm not. You are a betting man.
I am. Love sports bet, by the way.
31st. So by the 31st of December.
No, I'm on.
Year,
I'm on.
Are you on? You're all in.
Ships in, Bon.
Exactly.
Overs or unders on the Red Bull.
Man, I'm telling you. I will not.
What odds are you giving me?
When there's a 20, is it 2024? When there's a 4 on the end of that, I promise you, man, I'll be letting myself down, dude. I will not be drinking Red Bull, man. I think
at the start of the year, I would have got 2s. Fact that we're halfway through and nothing's happened, I'm out to 4s.
Yeah, right.
I'm doubling down again.
So I'm doing you a favour, dude.
Yeah.
Because you know.
Live betting.
You know what I know, dude. You know what I know, man. Whatever it fucking takes, I'm going to get off it. And yeah, all right, I haven't rolled the sleeves up yet, but I'm not going to lie, man. It's front of mind every time I have. I used to just be not care, you know what I mean? So the fact that every time I crack one, I'm going, okay, but I'm building.
Be looking at you every time you crack it, Penny.
Okay. Hey?
I'll be looking at you every time.
Yeah, I know. Everyone's onto me. I should
keep
never
it accountable, mate.
Yeah, man, I'm picturing we're halfway through the horse race. I know you're at the back. I know you come from behind.
Correct.
I know you're conserving energy. And I know that when the guys at the front get a bit tired, bang.
There he goes.
Giddy up. Come on.
Down the outside.
No, I will, man. I will. And I'll be very. I really couldn't timestamp how long I've been drinking it for, man.
I was about to say, it's a pretty big deal.
But it's disgusting, man. It really is. So I am going to sort it out. Anything else, Pete? Can we get off me? What about this bloke?
No.
What about this bloke?
Yeah, great segue, Benny. Great deflection. But bang, great man, Marcus on the pod. Works with us, legend. He's teed us up with a couple of... Well, he's the guy who connected us with today's guests.
Absolutely, man. So
who else would we bloody have sitting there?
Absolutely, man. How are you feeling, Marcus?
Oh, mate, I'm stoked.
First podcast, mate. Little Fish Pod. You're normally sitting on the couch, dude.
That's it. I'm usually just a watcher, but I'm behind the big screen now. So it's first exciting, time, behind the mic.
First time, a long time listener. First time, what? Doer?
First time potter.
Yeah, that was
mate, ordinary. Mate, I'll tell you what. He's going to debunk us. We tell everyone it's hard. It's really cool.
You're not nervous?
Nah.
You'd be pumped for today, though, man.
Absolutely.
I know I am. I know you are, PK. When we first heard about what was going on over here, our ears pricked straight up, and we saw it in your eyes as well, Mark. Actually, you shared something with the team. I'm sure we might get into today. But you had the whole team in the palm of your hands for a second there. And we're like, we've got to get these guys on, man. We've got to tell this story and share it with the people.
It's bloody powerful stuff, and no doubt it's trending. It's trending in a probably really alarming direction. You know, things like COVID and you know, all that sort of stuff.
And they're breaking the stigmas, man.
Breaking the stigmas, which is
crazy because the stigmas in our age group, you know, thankfully we've got Marcus bringing the demographic down a bit or the average age, but in our age group, it's taboo, man. You know what I mean? Like when we're coming up, like you're not, you know, you're weak as piss.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Nah, well, without further ado, let's start cracking into it. Today's guest, guys, in this episode, we're going to hear from the founders of Speak and Share, a non-for-profit organization dedicated to breaking down the stigma of mental health. They share their journey and the importance of starting conversations around mental health in our communities. Their engaging videos and strategies have helped save lives and inspire change. Like, that's power.
Oh, real stuff.
Saving lives.
That's power. That's what it's got. That's what it's got, boys. Give it up for Ben and Nathan from Speak and Share.
Yeah, boys. Woo! Yeah, this is crazy, man. This is crazy.
This is crazy. This is a thing.
Yeah.
This is a serious
thing, man. Changing the world, man. Like, I love when people come in and they do something that they just get. They're literally, in my mind, changing the world, changing the way people think.
Well, they've seen something. They've seen a deficiency in the way everyone does things, and they're working their asses off to put a spotlight on it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I love it, man.
How are we, boys?
Good. Thanks for having us on. Looking forward to this. It's a scary setup in here. It's probably the most efficient setup we've been on, so looking forward to it.
Giddy up. Number one podcast in Australia, I believe.
You've ruled yourself out of a Red Bull sponsorship.
So. Love that one.
That's what I made. That Red Bull's for you guys.
Yeah, I used to think that was a good idea once, believe it or not.
You actually reached out to Red Bull multiple times.
Multiple times. This is before we started the pod. So we're going to start the pod and it's going to be high performers and this is how I roll. And they're like, yeah, whatever, mate. Let us know. And then realised pretty quickly that probably not a good thing to push, is it, the Bull?
Yeah. Nah. Well.
We love the Bull, so.
Yeah, we love it.
If they're listening, jump on.
do a Benny's work for
you. Well, to be fair, no one loves it more than me, right?
Not for long. Yeah. Boys, amazing. Thanks for coming on. You know, you're busy in all your new endeavours and that sort of stuff. Can we start with where you guys met and you know, kick off from there?
Yeah, so Ben and myself, Nathan, and there's another guy called Mason that we do Speak and Share with. He's actually teaching at the moment.
Shout out, Mace. He's out there making bank while the boys are running around like rock stars.
He's looking after the primary school students, so yeah, he's working hard. Yeah. But the three of us became mates through footy in school quite a while ago now. And then we actually went up to the NT during the Victorian lockdowns, sort of escaped Vic and, went and had the time of our lives. But formed a really strong friendship up there, and that sort of, we're living, partying, playing footy, doing all the fun stuff. But I guess during that time, like, a few things happened. Ben and Mace lost one of their close mates to suicide, unfortunately, and my parents split up, which led to some hard times for myself. And I guess that's where the seed for Speak and Share was planted. We fast forward almost two years now, and we're a registered charity. School programs are rocking, and we're trying to change the world.
Yeah, how amazing, boys. So when you went up to the NT, got out of lockdown, smart, you know, really smart.
Oh,
go out there and kick the pigskin and get on the gas.
I feel like an idiot, dude.
Yeah, I know. How long's this been going on? I could have held down a little back pocket up there or something. But like, talk us through, like, prior to that, you know, life's good, you know, the mental space of it. Was it even on your radar? Like, talk us through that shift from going up there and these bad instances happening and being up there and being alone and not having your networks around you. Like, what was it like before going up there?
Yeah, it's a good question. I never really struggled with mental health or didn't really read too much into it, to be honest. Nathan and I come from footy clubs and played footy as kids growing up, and it was just something that people never really spoke about, wasn't really touched on. When I was in primary and secondary school, probably similar to Nathan, didn't really speak about mental health either. And I never really thought much of it. And it was only until, I got news that my mate passed away that I was like, shit, this is actually a thing and it's actually getting people. So I don't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, pretty similar. My family, there's been like a bit of mental illness throughout my family like a couple of years ago. So I was aware of it, but it never affected me personally. So as a young male, I was like, oh, fuck, like, I'm untouchable. So until it hit me, I had to open my eyes up. Same with Benny, I guess, like. Well, growing up, you play footy, all your mates, like, you put hang a bit of shit on each other, but until mental illness, like, actually affects you, I guess I was oblivious.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's a real thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about how it affected you? You spoke about your parents splitting up and stuff, and what that actually did, and how you felt, and that little journey of darkness that you went on.
Yeah, absolutely. So, early on, I was like, didn't want to talk about it, and Ben and Mace, they were like trying to check in with me, but I was just like extremely embarrassed that this had like happened in my life. So I tried to hide those emotions, and you know, I was crying pretty much every day and like really frustrated, angry, but sort of put it to the back of my mind and tried to avoid it for as long as I could. It sort of got to the stage where I was playing footy. When I came back home, I was playing footy, and I found myself like hiding in the change rooms at halftime, like crying from trying to hide from my teammates because I just like didn't want to be out there. And it wasn't because I was playing footy, it was just like I built up so much emotion and I hadn't dealt with it and I hadn't spoken about it that I was just like a ticking time bomb, really. So it led to some really hard times, like relationship with friends and family were starting to fracture, you start distancing yourself. But I was just lucky enough, like I had two great mates beside me and family, and plenty of other support that were noticing some changes and reached out and helped me get back on the right path. So I was really privileged to have these people in my life.
Was there any sort of vices that you sort of lent on? Did you go down the, you know, some people when they find themselves in dark places, they look to sort of self-medicate? Was that something you got into, or you?
Yeah, so I think the best thing for me was just talking about it. So I remember like the turning point was when I went on a walk with Ben and Mace, and we just went down the park and they didn't really have to ask me anything. It was just an opportunity for me to talk and like get things off my chest. I just felt like really free and open, and I guess getting that like monkey off your back and letting other people into your life was the turning point and the biggest thing I realized.
And was it as confronting as you thought? Because like you said, that embarrassment and verbalizing and stuff in that initial moment, did it feel as confronting as you thought it would?
Yeah, I guess like the confronting thing is like having to reach out to your mate, I guess, and saying like, fuck, like something's going on, like I'm actually struggling. But I was sort of pretty lucky that I had like mates that were actually checking in with me. So Absolutely. They sort of made that first step pretty easy. And then it was more so just up to me to share what I wanted to share. And I mean, once you start sharing, like you feel pretty good and, you know, it's contagious. So I was just very lucky.
Yeah. Absolutely. So Ben, when you went on that walk, was like, what's that like? Are you just holding the space and just listening to your mate? And obviously you knew his parents had split up. So were you like, you know, on
watch? It was pretty tough, 3 or 4 months. We did quarantine together before we got up to Darwin in Howard Springs. I think it was the first or second day Nath got the news. And from that point on, he sort of changed in his behaviours, how he was acting, was going to bed early, and Mace and I sort of knew something was up, but we probably weren't equipped to start that initial conversation. And it was only until we got home 3 or 4 months later that we said, you know, we got to do something about this. And Nath reached out and said, can we go for a walk sort of thing? And I just acted as a sounding board. You don't want to dictate them and say you should be doing this, you should be doing that, but if you can just be there for your mate and understand how they're feeling, it goes a long way into helping them for sure.
Definitely.
My just to sort of relate to you, Nate, my parents split up when I was about 15 or 16 and I was embarrassed as well. It was just like, you know, I always had mates over and it was a big family house, and then, you know, my mum sort of moved out and it was embarrassing and I didn't want to tell people at the start, and, you know, eventually people hear things and find out, you know, your mum's living there, and it is embarrassing, so I can 100% relate to that. It's hard to speak up about it too, because if you're, I don't know, like my family was, you know, it's a big sort of family house on a main road with a pool, you always have people over and people go, oh, where's your mum, things like that. Just a little thing from my end. So
have you been swimming at his joint yet? Am I missing something here?
I'm about to start. But great point. I feel like as you guys were saying that, I think you guys are Gen Z. I don't know, I miss the gens. But anyway, they're younger than us. But I feel like you guys are getting a lot better at sort of identifying these things in your life and sharing with your mates and that sort of stuff. Getting to, you know, Benny and I have been on the planet a little bit longer. It's a less, less acceptable thing. It's less common for, you know, to grab a mate and go, I'm struggling. You know, I think, you know, I've got some good mates and, definitely aware of it. And I think it's a good thing to share, but it's a bit more foreign to, you know, to older generations, I feel like.
I think we're doing all right, our generation, but it's still nowhere where it should be. Yeah. And, hence why we started Speak and Share. We just want to change that culture, and talking about mental health should be completely normal. Like, everyone's got mental health, whether it's good mental health or poor mental health. It should be a normal thing that people talk about. So that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. So you're up in the NT, you're helping your mate, you know, you had a mate, commit suicide. So talk us through that a bit, because obviously that's now your mission to eradicate or lessen that type of, you know, those type of illnesses and those sort of outcomes. What was that like?
Yeah, it was bloody tough. The day before we flew up, my mate who took his life when we were up in Darwin came over and picked up a bench press. It was during lockdown, so gyms were closed. And I knew that he'd been struggling because I think about 2 months prior to that, he had an incident down our way on the Frankston train line where he tried to take his life on the train line. And I was lucky enough to intervene him and stop him from doing so. And it was probably that point in time that we knew that Josh was struggling. We didn't know before that incident. So that was probably his cry out, as you'd like to call it. He picked up the bench press and I remember giving him a huge hug, promising that as soon as I get back from Darwin, I'll be back to see you sort of thing. And in my mind, it was always going to happen. I was always going to come home and Josh was still going to be there. Anyway, flew up to Darwin probably 3 or 4 months later towards the end of our trip. I just finished my final placement for uni, so I was flying. I was stoked. I was happy as finishing uni, you know, going through school. Finishing uni is a huge accomplishment. Never have to study again. So I was on top of the moon. And then the day after I finished my placement, my final placement, got a call from a friend back home on the peninsula informing that Josh had taken his life. And that was, a whirlwind of emotions. I remember pacing around the house for hours, questioning myself on things I could have done differently. Scroll through the text messages, if I replied to that differently, could that have changed the scenario? And probably the remainder of our trip, I was drinking every night, hitting the sauce, was eating poorly, wasn't exercising whatsoever. Sort of shut myself off for the next 3 or 4 months and just seriously went to work on my own head. If I could have done that differently, should I have done that differently? Saw his mum after I come back, and just questions just constantly flowing in your head on things you could have done differently. And it was probably 3 months later where Nath and I and Mace caught up on that walk that I said, you know what, boys, I'm struggling as well. Like, I felt like the whole Josh thing was my fault sort of thing. And it was only then that I opened up that it started to get a little bit better. But it was the hardest thing I've ever been through, and wouldn't wish it upon my worst enemy. Something that no one should ever go through. And that's my main motivation behind starting Speak and Share is, no one should have to go through losing a best mate or a brother or a sister or a dad or a mum, because it's bloody horrible.
Man, absolutely. Massive respect, because some people, you know, you can feel that way, but you've gone up and you're actually manning up. You're doing something about it, man.
Yeah, I just feel like it's my duty of care now. Like, that was the hardest thing I've ever been through personally. If I can change one person's life and get people talking about their mental health and save people from even going down that path of suicide and getting that bad in their thoughts, and I'm doing my job. So,
and Josh was his name.
Yeah, Josh.
Yeah, like even like, you know, he's going to have a legacy.
Yeah,
which and that's what you're going to carry out. And you know, he did what he did, and we can't change that. But he's looking like he's going to save a lot of lives.
Yeah, and the thing was, amazing. Josh didn't feel like he could speak and share. He was 25-year-old, owned a carpentry business down on the peninsula, a really successful businessman, had a house, had a dog, had a partner, was an elite footballer. Everyone looks on him like he's a perfect person, and unfortunately he was struggling with demons that he didn't want to talk about and ended up taking his life. And there's so many Joshes in the country or around the world that don't feel that they can talk. So with this journey we're going on, hopefully we can change some lives.
I was going to ask you, like, what kind of guy was he? Because you hear, you know were there signs, or you know, was he a battler, you know? But it's these guys that are rock stars that are dealing with this stuff.
Well, what's the word? That's not the discriminative. You know what I mean?
Like, it's a silent killer.
It's a silent killer, and it doesn't discriminate against anyone, right?
Yeah. Well, looking in, you would have thought he was a perfect person. He was a good-looking fella, better looking than I am, which I was pretty jealous about. not a elite.
You said it.
I'm getting back later. Elite footballer, had a good carpentry business, had a partner, had a house, had a dog, had everything going for him. If I looked at him on the street walking his dog, I think he's the perfect person. But he was struggling internally. And yeah, it was probably when he had that episode on the Frankston train line where we were like, shit, Josh is actually struggling. We need to do something about this. It was only 10 months later that he took his life. So
how did you hear about that? So that when you because you references him being his sort of like his reach for help potentially. So how did that sort of unfold? And is that what the gut feeling was, that it was at that point? It was almost like he wanted to do it but didn't want to do it, and was like a scream for help? Is that...
Yeah, it was pretty full on. I was the one that found him on the train line. Won't go into too much detail, but pretty much had a night out and he went missing, and then found him at the end of the platform and he was non-verbal, couldn't communicate. And then we checked him into Frankston Hospital, and once he could talk, he just sort of explained that, you know, I can't do this anymore. And we had no idea that he was struggling prior to that night. So,
you found him, Ben?
Yeah, I found him on the train line. Yeah, so yeah, it gives me tingles thinking about it now. The state he was in, non-verbal, couldn't communicate. I was like, I don't know what's going on. I wasn't equipped to deal with the scenario whatsoever. And looking at him, as I said before, I thought he was the perfect person myself. I was pretty jealous of how he went about life and how good he was at footy and how good looking he was and how good his business was. So to find him on that night was definitely a reality check to me, as I said before, that mental health is a thing and it's getting people. So, yeah, it was pretty full on.
Yeah. So how do we kick this off, boys? So you guys are up in the NT. You guys are battling with your own demons. The bad shit's going on. Like, how do we... How do you start this sort of movement, man?
It's hard to start a business, right? We've done it, and it's fucking hard, man. You know, like, how do you start a charity? Like, because I would imagine that's even more difficult than a standard business, right? Because, you know, there's plenty of
legalities.
Yeah.
It was pretty full on. I think we were just at the beach one day, and obviously we're all studying teaching. I'd finished teaching 2020, and then Nathan Mace were finishing end of 2021. During lockdown and while we were studying, we were all working as integration aides down at a school in the peninsula. And we were just at the beach one time and we said, you know what, I've been through a shit time, you've been through a shit time, Mace has been through a shit time, what can we do? And how can we sort of change lives and mental health? That sort of sector was something that we were all passionate about. And then we just made an Instagram account during lockdown, got sort of our Speak and Share logo created. I think we said three mates, one aspiration, and that had like 600 shares on Instagram, sort of blew up. We didn't really know where we wanted to go with it. We just wanted to change some lives somehow. Then we started making skits, which we've got on our Instagram. The first one's the acting's absolutely shit house. But,
please don't go look.
No, I've seen him. It's not that bad.
It'll be in the description.
Yeah. And they got really good traction. And then we put a serious video off of us sitting in my garage talking about what we've been through and our vulnerability sort of thing. And we're really hesitant to post that. Obviously, coming from footy clubs, their environments where blokes don't talk about what they're going through. That sort of blew up on the socials. And then we got together again and said, you know what, we've got a really good opportunity to sort of capitalize on this. And it's sort of grown from there. Yeah, as we said, we're now a registered charity, got a school program that we've rolled out, sporting club program, workplace program, we got merchandise, and yeah, we got some big
and
ideas.
The merchandise is hot too, man. Yeah, it's hard to get.
Yeah.
It's hard to get.
Will you bring a few hats in for
no,
a sponsor?
No, you can't get them, man. They're sold out. Marcus has got one.
So take you guys back a little bit. So you had a little bit of a vision, you know, you wanted to sort of start changing people, saving lives, sort of the top thing. And it took yourself to be vulnerable to really do that.
Yeah.
Like, that's really impressive. Like,
yeah, I guess, like, the three of us have always said, like, we have a story to share, but our story is no more important than yours or the everyday person walking down the street. Like, everyone has a story to share. So we just said, being young males, let's make ourselves vulnerable. If we can put our story out there, hopefully it'll pave the way for others to follow. And I think, like, if we reflect on our journey, like, that initial story that we shared has led to you sharing your story on Instagram. So
100%.
Yeah. And a lot of other people. And like for us, like watching your story gives us goosebumps and it makes it all worthwhile. So our first initial idea is hopefully changing the culture. And like, yeah, firstly to you, like, thanks for sharing your story. And
yeah,
that's what we'd love to see.
No, I mean, even just with my story, like it was just it's a funny story how we sort of got into it. Well, how I met Ben and like, we're just at the tennis one day and get dragged along by the girlfriends and
bullshit. <You're there. laughs> Nah, good boys, aren't you?
Getting the brownie points. Benny and I got talking.
So just randomly. So
well, sorry. So our girlfriends are mates.
And, oh, okay.
And,
cool.
But I didn't know Ben going into that day. And we sort of got talking. What do you do with yourself? You know, I work for Little Fish. Da da da. And Benny goes, oh, I was a teacher, and now I'm sort of running my own business, Speak and Share, and like involved in mental health and things like that. And I'd sort of had it in the back of my mind that I wanted to start raising money for something because I'm doing a triathlon. I've done the triathlons and in March. So that's, that was exciting. And then I was like, you know, back in my mind, I wanted to start doing this stuff. You know, my family's been affected by mental health and whatnot. And obviously I had at that stage and I didn't really know where to take it. Been talking out of my ass, having a few beers at the tennis.
But anyway, Ben was too.
A few Canadians. Yeah,
that's it.
Vodka Red Bulls, actually. Go down a treat.
If you're listening, Red Bull.
Yeah. So anyway, followed Benny up with a message a week or two later once I found the courage and got on the phone that afternoon and just sort of told him a little bit about myself and whatnot and what the sort of plan was. And he goes, mate, make a video. It's so much more personable. And like what you said, the vulnerability, it shows. And people love...
That video, dude, just popped.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, yeah, it's got nearly 20,000 views now on my Instagram, which I I didn't know what to expect when I posted it. But, you know, like what you boys said when you were getting really nervous about posting your video. Like, I posted that and turned my phone off and went for a walk because I was like, I'm not, I don't want to, I don't know what to expect. And like that night, I was pretty emotional. But yeah, it was, yeah, just awesome.
I think it's infectious as well. Like, once one person opens up, the people around them feel comfortable. Like, you've probably got heaps of DMs on Instagram reaching out saying, like, I know what you're going through, or I've been through something similar.
100%.
And we sort of said from the start, like, if we're going to ask people to be vulnerable in our sessions, we sort of have to set the tone. We can't just go in and go, you know, you guys are doing this, you got to open up. But if we can go through our stories and open up ourselves, just makes it relatable and just normal.
I think when you've got cool guys like yourselves that are like dead set, leading the pack, right? That you're out there going,
setting
the example. Yeah, it's amazing. Your story was amazing. What we got to Marcus for context as well. Marcus came in. We do PKs, Q&As once a month with the team. So we come up and we all sort of just bond and talk about stuff. And Marcus played that video to the teammate. And I tell you what, I reckon that was the closest our team has ever been since we ever started the business. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, Marcus, you were raising for your run and it just went. Not from the little fish, obviously the guys got involved, but just in general, you posted that video, you set yourself a goal and you hit the goal in less than...
I mean, I set a $3,000 goal and I hit that in under 24 hours.
Correct.
And I was just... I was blown away. I couldn't believe it. Like, you boys put in a fair chunk and I was super grateful, but like, you know, mates and people I hadn't spoken to since high school, like, reached out and like, it was just so overwhelming, the support that I felt. Like,
it speaks volumes. It speaks volumes of how important what you guys are doing. Does that make sense? The fact that everyone, when people see someone like Marcus or all the Marcuses doing what you guys are encouraging them to do, and then to see the support that the guys like you get from, like you said, from everywhere, from places you didn't expect, it speaks volume of what you guys are setting out to do. And when I said at the start, and when you mentioned before, Ben, as well, you are changing the world, man. You are changing the youth, the way that people the way that people look at these illnesses and encourage it. Yeah, it's mind blowing. I love it.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
No, it's amazing, boys. And even just what you said before, Nath, around like everyone's dealing with whatever they're dealing with. So it's because that's the thing. There's a stigma out there or a mechanism that people go, oh, well, I'm having a bad day. But you know what? What about those people over there doing that? They're having a worse day. So shut up and think about them. But everyone's dealing with their own stuff. So the fact that people just keep burying down their own issues, because there's always going to be someone worse off. Always. Like, you always find someone worse off.
Yeah.
But like, what about that individual that's dealing with that? That's, you know, it's still got to be dealt with, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know? Like, everyone's allowed to have like a shit day, have a shit week. Like, you shouldn't feel guilty if, you know, something ticks you off in the morning. So I guess that's what we've always like advocated for. Like, you know, you have a story to share. Don't feel guilty if you're having a bad day, because, you know, someone else might be going through the same thing. And I guess if we come back to Marcus's story, like, people are there watching it and they're relating to it and they're finding strength and power in his story. So, yeah, that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, it's power. It's power. Boys, getting back into, I guess, the business side of it. So you've blown up Insta. You know, you're getting the merch. It's all happening type thing. How are we now moving into... you know, doing your good deed? Like, what does a week look like? How are you infiltrating these organizations? Tell us some stories about getting in front of these groups. Like, how'd it start?
I remember our first one we went to was a cricket club down our way. It was during summer. It was like, it would have been 35 degrees, hot as. Nathan and I were sitting in his van looking at each other like, fuck, I don't know if we can go in and do this.
And this is the first one.
This is the first one. Like, boy, this is not us. Like, we can't do this. We're shitting ourselves. Anyway, we got out of the car, got up there, got into the club rooms, and everyone's covered in tattoos. Like, tattoos everywhere. It looks like a bloody pack of banditos. And we look at each other again like this across the river. We can't do this. We can't do this. Should we just walk out? Anyway, we got up, told our stories. And that was probably one of our better sessions that we've had, I reckon. There was conversations that got started that the club had no idea about, clubs that were players were struggling within the club. And it sort of after that we sort of got together and said, you know, this is really cool. And to start these conversations, there was one in particular we won't go into detail about, but pretty much saved someone's life at the club. The club had no idea that he was struggling. So for us to facilitate that in our first session, it was sort of like, shit, like, we can do something with this.
Yeah.
And it was really rewarding.
Yeah, we walked in like, oh, mate, there's no way these people are going to listen to us. Like, not a chance. Like, three blokes with, like, a couple pubes on their face.
I was about to say, Nate, you look like you're nine.
We were walking in, yeah, shit scared if we're honest. And we walked out, yeah, chest out, like full of confidence, thinking, you know, yeah, we're in a great position.
You're on the right brothers, path.
Yeah.
And how did, I guess, just a little bit insight into a session like that, do you guys get up and show the vulnerability to kick things off? How does that look like?
Yeah, so we obviously start by sharing our stories, a few icebreakers at the start, but the main chunk of the session is what we call our dinner date. So we encourage groups of three to go sit in a circle with the prompted questions, and we give them about 20 to 30 minutes to work through those. So I think what we've seen is that, you know, people are really willing to have these conversations, but it's just they don't find the time or they don't make the time. So by us coming in and saying, all right, you guys have got 30 minutes, we're going to work through these questions. And they range. There's some like an entree, which is an icebreaker. And then the main is like, what are you most proud of? How are you looking after your mental health? What are some of the hardest things you've been through, et cetera? So, yeah, people are absolutely loving this opportunity to stop and share. So that's what the sessions really look like.
How did you come up with the, because you guys, you know, starting, you know, just started from nothing. Like, did you get help with the framework with this kind of stuff? So, or you guys just started figuring it out yourselves?
Not really with the program, to be honest. Like, being school teachers, we sort of know what the kids struggle with at school. So we sort of molded it off that. But in terms of the business stuff, we've had a lot of help. When we first started Speak and Share,
oh, yeah,
just thought, I said, oh, let's just create this business. It can't be that hard. You just get an ABN and you're good to have a bank account and you're good to go. We've learned a lot on the business side. We're now a registered charity. We've got an amazing board that supports us with all that sort of stuff. And we're constantly learning things every day, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's incredible. So can you talk us through that little bit of the journey? Being, like Pete said, the bit of a business podcast, and I'm sure there's other kids or guys or people out there that might be thinking similar along the lines that, hey, I'd like to do a charity. Like, how does that, those initial steps, like how do you pull together a board and set up a bank account? And because I'd imagine, right, you guys, you've got to live, right? So you guys have got to get paid something. Like, how does that work? I know we didn't get paid for 4 years in our first business, in our business, maybe 3 or 4 years until we were able to make enough money. So how were you guys able to get off the canvas, be able to pay yourself so you could get out and spread this message?
Yeah, and like, if we're completely honest, it's been like real tough in the last 16 months. So probably only about 4 months ago, we actually started earning from Speak and Share. During the 12 months prior to that, we'd been juggling teaching and then volunteering our time, and we haven't received any funding as such, but we've been able to generate some income from our merchandise sales, and there's been great people doing stuff like Marcus raising revenue for us, and a few sponsors are jumping on board. But I guess early days, yeah, we sort of threw it out to our community and said, this is what the path we want to go down, I guess. And we got introduced to some people early through a guy called Sam. So Sam was our first employee, actually, a couple of weeks.
Shout out Sammy.
He's a good little lad, but
sometimes.
Yeah, he doesn't do much work. So yeah, Sam reached out to us, and then he actually introduced us to his mum. And then Beck, who's on our board as well, she introduced us to another couple of people, Daryl and Ricky, who have been, yeah, insane. Like, if you meet Daryl, you just like, he blows you away. Like, he's just one of those blokes that just works so hard and just wants to give back to us so much. So he's been incredible for us. He's helped us write all our business plans. He helped us get our charity status. And yeah, like, Daryl's a workhorse, hey.
He loves it too much. Shout out to Daryl. All pro bono, doesn't want anything from it, just wants to give back. And I've never seen someone work so hard. Like, he gets up at, I think, 3:30 a.m., goes to bed at like 11:30. He's just an absolute wizard. And without being introduced to him, I reckon we probably would have shut up shop.
But you guys inspired him, man. You know what I mean? Like, you guys have inspired this guy and given him, like, he's obviously wanted to give back and had that burning desire. And you guys have given him that opportunity, man.
Yeah, he really believes in the mission and our vision that where we're trying to take Speak and Share. So being introduced to this, this board has really helped us get into the position we are today. Like Ben, myself, and did you study business management?
Ben? Not me.
Yeah.
No. I did.
Teaching and exercise science.
Yeah. So like, we don't have any business management experience, but we've learned a lot throughout the journey, which has been incredible. And being in that position of a charity now is huge. It's opened a lot of doors for us, and hopefully it continues to do so.
Yeah. Amazing. What's a week look like? You know, like, you're setting up these organisations. Like, talk to us about the good you guys are doing.
Yeah, so the week from the beginning of Speak and Share, we've always said we just want to say yes to as many people as possible. So the awesome thing now is we're getting like school kids reach out to us saying we're doing an assignment on Speak and Share. So the week involves like a lot of coffees and a lot of catch-ups and having those conversations. But when we see a kid doing an assignment on us, like, it gives us goosebumps. Like, it's incredible. But yeah, a lot of board meetings. We've got the programs rolling out now. So we're booking in programs each week.
Yeah.
We're doing sporting club programs in the evening.
So are they similar to the dinner date ones that
Yeah, very similar. We obviously change our approach from school kids to sporting players. And then we've also done a fair bit of stuff with some workplaces, running community events. We're trying to get our merchandise up and running. So I guess the crazy thing with Speak and Share, there's so many avenues and so many directions we want to take it. And we're trying to, we're trying to build our team so that it's not just the three of us, that hopefully one day it's 30 or 300 of us.
And it grows beyond and it lives beyond you guys. Yeah. I've got to ask, boys, I love branding. It's one of my favorite things. You guys nailed it. Like Speak and Share as a brand, nailed, but also the way that you put the brand forward. And that's, I would argue, that's why your merch is just hot.
How do we get a couple of three teachers?
How do we end up with such a powerful brand? Because I think one thing we talk about on the podcast, you know, you can have all these amazing ideas, right? And if you get the brand wrong, it's an uphill battle, right? Yeah. You get it right and you're on a rocket ship. And I feel like you guys are on a rocket ship because you've got the story, you've got all the underlying stuff, but you've also attached a powerful brand that's very clear on what you guys do. And it's cool. It's got, you know, cool cats like Marcus proud to wear it, man. And I ask Marcus, where's mine? And he goes, they're sold out. You can't get them. They're hotcakes, right? So yeah, talk us through how the brand, the name, and then also the visual and that kind of process.
Yeah, we put a lot of effort into the merchandise. To start, like the first 12, 15 months, that was purely our revenue from the merch. We sort of sat down when we first started planning hoodies and everything and said, we want to put a meaning behind the garment, whether it's a hat, hoodie. So last year we started off dedicating each hoodie drop to a person and their story. So the person would get on, we'd share their sort of video through our platform. And then from each hoodie sale, they'd choose $5 or $10 from each hoodie to go to another cause. So we'd help like another charity. So an example of that is Chris Ross. We did one for him last year, who was Nate's strength and conditioning coach down at Frankston VFL, 31-year-old, has MND. Is in pretty poor form at the moment. Like, he's really battling. Really, really incredible person. We dedicated a hoodie to him. He shared his story through our platform and sort of what he's learned through having MND and how important it is to be vulnerable and to communicate with those around you when you are struggling. The importance of speaking and sharing. Took him into the Carlton Footy Club, made a day out of it, and then $5 from every hoodie sale we donated to MND. So people can attach sort of what their interests are and align themselves with the hoodie. We chose it to be a blue hoodie because he goes for the Carlton Footy Club. So through putting more meaning behind the merchandise, it just makes more of the hoodie, I guess.
It's the story, isn't it? That's awesome. Absolutely. And what about the logo? Who is that, you guys sitting there? Because using the pink for guys, like, that's a genius.
Or did you give it that much thought? Like, Benny's unpacked it, because that's what he does.
Did you guys suss all that out, or...
You guys, do you remember who? Did you like?
Me and Beat always debate over how Littlefish came about. There's a few stories out there, but yeah, like Speak and Share. Who came up with Speak and Share? Right,
my mum actually claims it. Now that we're doing it right, it definitely wasn't mum. It was bobbling around in our heads for I reckon 8 or 9, probably 10 months. Like the naming of the company and the charity.
The sunflowers have been big thing as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Initially it was like Speak Up and Share It, and then it was we had 10 billion other names, but we just wanted to make it simple and sharp, and Speak and Share sort of came from that. And
I guess in terms of making the merch, like, we just make stuff that we like and hope other people like it, I guess. So if we're gonna wear it, hopefully other people wear it. But
how do you go keeping up with the demand, because obviously this stuff's selling out? Like, you obviously don't want to talk about quantities, but like, is it a full-time operation now? Like, Because it's probably drop based, isn't it?
So it's probably my like main area that I'm working on at the moment, like the merchandise for the year. So we're trying to get as many stories attached to them. We got some pretty like special stories coming up. But yeah, you're right. The quantities, obviously, we want as many people wearing Speak and Share merch. But like, when you start a business with two of your best mates, you don't have much funds to like help generate that at the start. So we started off, we made like 80 hoodies, and then it went to like 300. And they're selling out in like 90 seconds, and people are going, I can't get one. I'm like, sorry, like, we just don't have the money to like outlay at the start. Now we're in a position where, quantities have gone up significantly for the first drop. So We're going all in with our first campaign, which is called Creating Change Together. Sort of like the message behind that is like there's a new generation coming through, like the youth are inspiring the next generation. And we got some pretty cool video campaigns lined up for that. And yeah, we've gone all in hoping that as many people will be able to wear this merchandise. And then following that, there'll be some pretty special stories, personal stories shared by individuals.
Yeah, amazing. Like tying it to the story, like meaning. Like yeah, when someone they go to the cupboard and there's 12 hoodies in there. Like I'm gonna grab this one because it means something.
And when you've got limited, there's special editions as well, right? Yeah. And I think that's a bit of a key to this.
Scarcity
is a real thing, especially when it's quality merch like the hats that you're wearing there, and people actually like them and want to wear them. Like you said, whatever the quantities are, if you know that you're never running them again, this is the only time you ever get one, I think that helps you guys just sell out every time, right?
I think you're also building a community as well. Like two blokes that might not know each other, both wearing speak and share, like you might be wearing a hat. I saw some bloke running the other day around our park. He was wearing a hat as well. I tried to yell out to him, didn't hear me. But, but you know, you can create that connection without, you know, two blokes without even knowing each other. Like it's a big community that you're building as well.
It's not even two people just wearing them. Like seeing a big speak and share hoodie, it'll ask that initial conversation. Like,
100%.
What's the go with your hoodie? Why is it? What's speak and share sort of thing? Beck on our boards actually had a few conversations with old people. She's gone for a walk around the block and an old fella's come up to her and said, you know, I've seen that a few times. Like, what is speak
what's
and share?
What's going on, yeah.
And he's just like downloaded everything that he's been going through. So to create that through a garment's pretty special.
Yeah, and another one is a guy reached out to us through the DMs, like, probably a year ago, and he said he was wearing like a speak and share hoodie at pre-drinks, and like they were sitting around after the footy game and they just started talking about mental health, and he just like messaged us saying like such a cool thing, like your hoodie instigated a conversation, and for the first time like ever, like the 10 of us actually spoke about mental health. So when we get a message like that, like it's so powerful. It just gives
us so much
inspiration.
Good does that make you guys feel? Is that like, you know, that's like your oxygen, that's like your Red Bull can, like, when you hear that stuff?
Fuck off.
Give it up. But yeah, seriously, like where does that take you?
Just once you're hungry for more, like reading a message like that.
Like Red Bull,
let's just keep the momentum going. And yeah, we're only two years in, which is crazy.
That's wild. And on the back of a pandemic as well, right? So it wasn't like you had a clear runway to get this thing off the ground.
And it's only really this year that we started full-time. Like Nathan and I started full-time within the business, started Jan. So we're only, whatever it is, 8 weeks in. So yeah, keen to see where we are in 5 years.
What is the vision for the next 5 years?
Yeah, some big plans, but I guess we want our message to be heard globally.
Mm-hmm.
We want our programs delivered, hopefully free of charge, all across the nation. So with that would require some funding. So, like we want as many people to have access to our programs as possible. And then we've got this pretty cool bus idea that we want to grab a bus, decorate it all up and take it around Oz and create a documentary out of people's mental health stories. So, yeah, that's probably
sick.
What the next
That is sick, that one, man.
So I'm picturing
the party bus,
a little fish on the back of the bus. Like, sponsor?
Yeah, absolutely. So
like a party bus where you bring the fun, but you also have serious conversations, right? Because you got to try and find that balance of not just being completely morbid, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Find the fun and the connections as well.
Yeah. We got a few connections on Tiwi Islands. Nathan Mays played footy up there when we were up in Darwin. So, yeah, it might be a tour from here to Darwin, run our school program, sporting club program on the way. And we want to get a podcast going on the bus as well and get people from different communities sort of sharing their story on our platform.
Imagine that, on the back seat of the bus, man.
Yeah, we got some big ideas. So Red Bull, if you want to sponsor us.
They should, man. Jump on. I can give you their email, man. I've got to ask. So I would imagine, because I feel like I know why you wanted to get involved when you met these guys. I feel like what you guys, it's infectious, man. Like, we want to get involved. Like what, I'd imagine a big play or a good play for you guys is to be powerful, you know, influencers or just personalities out there, I'm sure, that would just eat this kind of stuff. Is that an avenue that you're looking at guys that maybe have a good story that would, you know, suit what you guys or the message that you guys are putting out? Is that an angle that you're looking at?
Yeah, I guess like an important thing for us to touch on is that Speak and Share is not just men's mental health. Initially when we started at three males, we said, you know, we're probably, our message is going to be heard by young males as well, but we quickly learned that every male has a female in their life that is going through the same thing. So we're trying to broaden our message as much as possible. And for us, it's very easy to find males in our community who might be willing to share their story, but we're trying to get as many female voices involved as possible, because at the end of the day, we're all human. We all go through the same thing. So, we're trying to get as many people involved as possible. We're really targeting the youth. We see them as the next generation. We see them being able to create change. So that's why we love, being school teachers. We love working with students. So,
Yeah, it's amazing. I love hearing this. Like, we're fathers over this side of the table, and we've got kids coming through, and there's a lot of things that go on in the world today as a father that scare me. But hearing this sort of stuff and these sort of people doing this sort of stuff is the opposite. It's exciting because as we're trying to navigate them through the world, there's a lot to look out for, but there's a lot of positive stuff going on out there. So if they do run into strife, you guys are out there creating, a safe place for people that are, that are battling these demons.
It's pretty tough growing up as well now. Like, there's so much pressure on kids. We see it at school, pressure to perform academically, with sport, there's social media pressure. So if we can get the kids talking from such a young age about how they are feeling, I think we'll go a long way in helping them in the long term.
And I think the funny thing is, like, all these kids are trying to buy like a hoodie, but obviously they don't have jobs and like they don't have the money to buy a hoodie, so they're like hitting their mum and dad up to buy them a hoodie about a mental health organization. Yeah. So it's starting the conversation with them. I remember if we backtrack to last year, we gave out some hoodies down the street. We said we're going to be on Main Street at like 12 o'clock, and we had heaps of kids coming down, and this kid came down with his dad. And anyway, I remember you sat down with the guys, and the kid didn't really want to talk too much, but the dad was absolutely loving it, like getting right into it. And that's probably more your story to share, but
yeah, it was awesome. It started that initial conversation between the son and his dad, and then the flip side of that was I went up to this other kid and his old man were having an ice cream in front of the ice cream shop, and I went to give the kid a hoodie saying like, I'm Ben from Speak and Share Mental Health Charity, and the dad pretty much told me to fuck off. So it's just the flip side of, if you start that conversation, how powerful it can be. And probably just like the stereotypical male that just doesn't want to talk about it. I said, mate, I don't want your money. Like, I was pretty honest with him. He literally said, fuck off.
Yeah, and that's what you guys are changing, which is why it's so important and so powerful, because there's plenty of those guys out there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like, we just want to change the culture, and we're starting to see like that come through with like the help of people like Marcus and people putting themselves out there, making it vulnerable. And like you guys having us on your potty to like touch the light on our subject, and it's really inspiring, and we think we see some big goals, and hopefully the landscape changes.
I think the way you've positioned it, like I said before, you're positioning it like that it's not only just okay, but it's kind of cool, right? Because you guys are cool guys, the way you present the merch, I feel like you're not only just encouraging people to speak, but you're doing it in a way that where like Marcus said, where it's cool, everyone's linking arms and they're all cool people, and
it's natural as well. It's not like you're not forcing things out of people. Like, people obviously want to speak about this stuff. You're just providing a platform.
A
for
cool
them
community,
to,
yeah.
Yeah, to take that next level with people, the stuff that people want to talk about. Like what you say, you walk into career clubs and people want to be talking about this stuff. They just don't know how to do it. Yeah. You're just facilitating that, and it's awesome.
And I guess that's the thing from us. If you talk about our community, like, we're never going to force anyone to be part of our community. We're only going to invite people in. So, we've never reached out to anyone to say like, hey, can you like get around our messages more? Like, we see people buying into our message and then we ask them to hopefully
help us. You follow
up.
Right. That's probably where I was before when I was saying like reaching out to maybe some influencers and stuff, but it makes sense that organically they come to you. They're there for the right reasons, right? And
You
want people that are buying into your message, not just going to someone that has 200,000 followers on Instagram just to blow up your brand. Like, we want someone that's actually going to buy into and help spread our message.
Yeah.
And is in it for the right reason.
It's the stories that matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, authentic and has got proper belief. Yeah,
absolutely.
Boys, this is good. This is stuff that should be talked about. What so have you got a message, I suppose, for our audience? Like, our demographic is chock full of, this age, and a lot of males in there, a lot of females as well, but a lot of males. Like, what's the messaging that you'd love to shoot down the camera and sort of put it out there?
Yeah, our main message is a problem shared is a problem halved. So if you notice someone's going through a bit of hardship yourself, don't be afraid to lean on those around you.
Yeah, and let's just talk what we're going through. Mental health should be a normal thing that we talk about. We'd also love to come out to your workplace. So if you want to get in touch, yeah, we're pretty big on the socials. So speak_share on Instagram and www.speakandshare.com.
And we'll link all that. We'll link all that down in the all the descriptions and stuff as well.
I think what could be good for the audience is, you know, you talked about how you got yourself out of a dark place and things like that. And just like people talk about their toolkits for when they're not sort of doing as well. What's something that helped yourself, or, you know, is a common thing that people talk about to drag themselves out of that sort of that slump that people might find themselves in?
Absolutely. I think the main one, like speak and share, like it's pretty simple. We promote such a simple message, but it goes such a long way. So if you are having a hard time, or, you know, you've had a hard day, like don't be afraid to lean on those around you and just, yeah, get it off your chest, because you'll find, you'll feel a lot freer once you do speak and share.
Mm. Yeah.
Shout out to Nath's mum for coming up with speak and share.
Nah, don't give it
up. And you boys are hearing footy, VFL. So give us a quick little cap of your footy careers, man.
Oh, don't let Nath talk.
How long have you got? And Mace as well. Like, he's a pretty good footy player, so he's played a lot of VFL footy, but not playing VFL anymore, just playing local. Trying to put as much time into speak and share as possible. Growing up, always being that kid that was obsessed with footy and absolutely love it, still do. But I think as you grow older and you get introduced to new things, you realise that footy's not everything, and there's bigger things than footy. So that's where I'm at, I guess, with my career. And
I figured that out. 5 years old, ultimate resi, I'm just a culture king. So I'm just there for a good time.
Mate, every club needs one of those.
Yeah, that's it. 1987 under 10-3's best of fairest. Right here, man. Come on.
No, you guys, sort of sport, exercise and stuff, you guys ran a bit of a community fun run type thing down the peninsula. I know that you're doing, we went on a run a few weeks ago, and you're obviously doing your 100 days of, what is it, 3 or 5K or more or something?
Trying to do 5Ks a day or more. I'm already 12 days in, the legs are saying no and the mind's saying no, but yeah, I'm doing that. So yeah, last year we started a movement club down on the peninsula, ran it for 8 weeks. We had roughly 90 per session, then had a fun run down at Safety Beach and had 465 runners, I think, that signed up.
That's a thing, isn't it?
Yeah, so I had there was over 1,500 there on the day. So that's something that we're going to plan for this year as well. Obviously, your physical and your mental health pretty much goes hand in hand. If you're physically active, you're feeling good mentally. So yeah, we just provide a space on the peninsula every Saturday morning. It's going to be probably start in September, I think we're planning for. People can come down, come for a run. It's only half an hour of exercise. Meet some people and get moving, because, yeah, it plays a crucial role in how you're feeling mentally. So
100%.
And when this stuff rolls out, boys, keep Marcus and us in the loop, because we'll shout it out on the
PK's
pod.
PK's doing a half marathon this year, isn't he?
Yeah, wow.
No, mate.
I reckon got more chance of me getting off the Red Bull, dude.
There's whispers.
I wouldn't. He's going all in on the. I'm not going all in on the marathon.
Save your chips.
Save your chips, man. Just watch. Watch this one. Boys, you've got so many great initiatives there. So, you got such big eyes by the look of it. I'm looking forward to seeing this bus and the pod going on tour.
Yeah,
we might be able to go meet them somewhere.
And I was
going to
say, if there's anything, Little Fish, man, we love this, man. If there's anything we can do to get involved and help, we're in, man. We love it.
You come down to the running club, set the pace.
I'll be looking after the people on the back, mate. I'll be the eyes and ears just watching the group, you know what I mean? If we have any casualties along the way, I'll stop and help them. This has been awesome. Is there anything else we've missed, boys? You know, Marcus, I know you're a big one in this space. Is there anything we haven't asked these guys, you reckon?
Oh, I think just what you're doing is just awesome. I mean, from what I sort of got up in front of everyone the other day and spoke and whatever, it just created a new connection in front of everyone and this group of people that we got downstairs, which was just awesome, which I hadn't seen before. And you know, you had guys opening up and whatnot, and like Benny opened up, and you know, it's just,
I fucking did too. I forgot.
Yeah. Oh, it's been hard, mate.
No, yeah. I did, and on that, man, because I've battled mental health issues for years as well, but and I'm one that hasn't spoken up, and I still don't very much, but. I think because I'm on the other side of it years and years ago or whatever, I don't know, and maybe I'm embarrassed as well. I don't actually know, you know what I mean? That's why we're interested in these conversations, but it's true. Mm. When Marcus stood up there, it did something to me, man. It did something to the whole team.
I know for a fact it did something to a couple.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's real. Yeah, it really is real. So if you're out there And listen, you know, if you're hearing this message, whether you're older or younger, and if you need to talk, talk, because it does. And what it does, it's infectious, and it compounds and it snowballs and it makes change. It genuinely does. So, yeah.
And there's a saying.
What's the saying?
Only good things can happen.
Only good things can happen, right? You put yourself out there and only good things can happen, man.
Love it, boys. Man. Continue the good work. We're going to watch closely with the journey, with the bus, with the party
he
bus.
He wants a sticker on the bus.
You got your bus license? You got your bus license?
Oh, bloody get it, don't I?
He'll do the driving,
Nah, awesome, guys. Keep up the good work. Such a good chat, such a good cause.
Shout out to Mace as well,
love
man.
It. Yeah, thank good you. On your Mace, man. He's out there.
He's hustling. He's hustling for the boys.
we really appreciate you having us on. And,
it's been awesome. Thank you.
Our pleasure,
awesome,
boys.
Love awesome. Your work. Please like, share, subscribe, guys. Speak, share, subscribe. Like how I did that. See you at the top.
Woo!
Speak. Stick around. It's going to be a good ride.